Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Gatun, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. We've got a special guest today, JB Pritzker. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott.
We've run into each other several times. You probably don't remember. I remember. And most of them took place in the tech community. And so with that, I wanted to kind of start this conversation out with why technology for you? I mean, there's so many different places. Obviously, you're running for governor, so that's a whole other thing that we will get to. But there's a lot of places to work, a lot of different things and positions to serve. The tech community in Chicago, when you entered this kind of conversation, was nothing. There wasn't the Chicagoland Entrepreneur Center. There wasn't 1871 as we know it today. There wasn't Momentum Awards 10X. There wasn't TechNori. There wasn't any of this stuff. What attracted you to getting involved in the tech community? And then what I want to follow up with that on is how you look at where we were when you first entered this picture to where we are now. So what was it about tech that drew you in? I mean, you have to be somewhat crazy to want to get into tech.
Well, certainly, you know, when I started out, actually the very first time I was had the opportunity to use a computer was the very first Apple Macintosh. That just shows you how old I am. But it was cool.
Vintage. You're vintage. You're good.
I take it back. The very first one I actually had was an original Atari computer with a cassette deck as the drive, as the disk drive.
The original Donkey Kong. You've got Donkey Kong at the table tennis game.
But you could program, you know, Pong on this thing. I mean, it was very cool. This is way, way back. But the time when I really realized that that I loved technology was the first Apple Macintosh. I wish I still had it, by the way. It'd be worth something.
It would definitely be worth a hell of a lot.
You know, it's about when I was going to college when it came out. And so that's really what, you know, started my fascination with technology. And as I grew older, you know, I knew I wanted to go into business. I knew that I was very interested in entrepreneurship. And so those things sort of came together. And then, you know, I ended up in the venture capital business in the mid-1990s, which, as it turns out, was a great time go into it because, you know, we were about to head into one of the great periods of technology expansion.
And here we are again with another one. I mean, there literally couldn't have been a better for you in this time and in this city. There's not a better place to have started a career when you're talking about venture stuff.
And we've come so far in the city. I remember in the mid 90s, you know, kind of 93, 94 when I started, there wasn't anything in Chicago really, in terms of a tech community. There were a few people and you know, the ones whose names, you know, are like, you know, Howard Tolman,
yep.
his brother, Glenn Tolman. But very few, honestly, but the pioneers, I would say. And here I was, you know, trying to get into the venture capital business and in a city where there wasn't enough going on. So it wasn't really until the mid-2000s that I got really engaged in the idea of building the technology infrastructure in Chicago and building the ecosystem out. I was sort of waiting for it to happen on its own and decided I better get involved in helping to build it. So yeah, that was where I, you know, kind of got started, was the mid-2000s.
It's funny that you mentioned that because Seth Kravitz, who's the founder of TechNori, I have talked to Seth about this all the time. We joke about when he started TechNori, he would talk to investors and people and just try to make connections, right? He came here from Cincinnati. He was just trying to get things done. There was no ecosystem, as you mentioned. And he said, every time I would talk to an investor or potential investor or even a partner, they would look at me and go, oh, you're an entrepreneur. You're unemployed. That's cute. And it's like we had no real place to go. And now we look at the community, thanks to a lot of the work that you guys have done, and laid a foundation where I get emails. In fact, just before this interview, I got a message on Facebook from a group that is just about to join 1871 saying, hey, we'd love to get this company in front of you and get on your show. It's that easy for them to be able to just get out in front of thousands of people.
Well, there were never any shows like this one. I mean, honestly, this is an example of how far we've come.
Truth be told, this is between me, you, and the thousands of listeners. I actually went to Howard and I went to Terry Howerton over at TechNexus and pitched the idea of this podcast for tech. And they were like, meh, whatever. Really? So I ended up doing a credit card round to get this thing off the ground. That's in like, you know, 2013. So I think the people that are coming into this tech community now, oh my goodness, taking for granted the fact that even 5 years ago, it was like, what? Like, there was Mark Lawrence, some spot here. There was a couple of people we'd talk about, but there was, now it's hundreds of companies.
And there was no 1871, and there was, you know, if you go back, I'll just take you back maybe, you know, 9 or 10 years. Just to be clear, there was nowhere, very few places to go for seed capital.
Oh, yeah.
If you were starting something, I mean, you were going to go talk to real estate developers who might want to take a chance on something.
That's all you had.
That's basically it. And there weren't really any angel organizations that were active enough.
Yep.
And there really wasn't a seed fund in town. And in fact, that's when I got together with some folks and put together what was then called the Illinois Innovation Accelerator Fund,
yep,
which became Chicago Ventures. But back then, there was really no fund to go to for seed funding. And so we created that. You know, we $10 million isn't really that much money in the grand scheme of,
sure,
what you'd need to build a community around. But it was something. And you could get $250,000 from, you know,
which was like a game changer, because before that it was there. I mean, it was a hope and a prayer. And if you said $250,000 is your entry point, people would have freaked out and scrambled.
Right.
You know?
And so, you know, and there were only a very few funds that would then take a follow on round of $1 million, $2 million. You know, if you,
yeah,
grew to a point where you could take follow on dollars. So there's that. You know, there was no place to go in the mid 2000s. There was really no place to go if you wanted to find, you know, how do I find the customers? How do I get help writing my business plan? How do I find the talent that I need? And so the Chicagoland Entrepreneurial Center was an outgrowth of a bunch of us who got together and said, actually, it was started at the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. It was like a, you know, they created this little side committee, and it turned into the Chicagoland Entrepreneurial Center, which became the place where you could go to get assistance in just getting the idea going. And then, oh, there was no capital, so we created,
yeah,
a seed fund capital provider. And then there was, you know, a need for a place to build your business. And so 1871 and so on. So that's kind of, you know, every little iteration of the community I've lived and been part of, including Techstars, which was called the Accelerator,
yep,
or Accelerate Labs, rather, originally. And so it's exciting to see what's happened. If you just look back 10 years and look at today, look how far we've come.
It's crazy. And that's why I say to the people who are entering this community now, you could only look like a year or two back and be like, oh my goodness, what a totally different world. To go 10 years back, it's not even recognizable. And now for you, just to kind of give sort of, I guess, a thank you and credibility to what you've built and participated and helped build in Chicago. We were just at Dreamforce in San Francisco. We met with the head of Techstars from Boston and some other major cities. The folks from the Entrepreneur Center in Dallas talking about how they're using Chicago as their blueprint. So literally, like, you know, again, 10 years ago, you'd say, oh, we started off at the Chamber of Commerce and built out this Entrepreneur Center. It seems obvious then, like, you go to Naperville and you can have your Entrepreneur Center at the Chamber of Commerce. But the way that it was built with the, I guess you have to be a business person to envision this, to build this thing and say, well, we need a starting point. We need a foundation. We need to have money. Without money, there's nothing. We need to have follow-on so that these companies can do something. And then it's like, oh, they also need to have space. It all kind of came together. And in the other cities, they didn't figure this out. So it wasn't that simple. It's now Chicago is now the model for how to build quickly escalate a tech community in a city, which is
incredible. Well, there were a number of us that got together, you know, 10 years ago who tried to map out, you know, what are all the things you need for a good ecosystem? So, you know, there's talent and capital and customers and, you know, and just, you know, assistance in so many different ways. And we tried to identify what are the organizations that already exist in Chicago that are doing something like it, and what's, you know, white space where you,
yep,
needed to create something. And those white spaces have mostly been filled in. You know, the fact that there are any incubators, now we've got, I think, dozens, you know, which is amazing.
There's so many places. And that's the cool part now, is that, like, in the beginning, you know, you went to one place because that was the place. And now we have so many things: MHUB, Matter, 1871, Connectory, Industrious, UI Labs. Like, go on for days on this, where you can find a specific niche. And that's where we've gotten to a point, the development is so huge. The next level of this, before we kind of start talking a little bit more about the gubernatorial stuff, is the focus on diversity, the focus on inclusivity. We have taken it to the point where now it's like, it's not good enough to just have specific to your industry, but gender specific, and being able to help people from across platform. You were just speaking at the Women Tech Founders, Women in Tech Awards. Tell me a little bit about how you feel things have changed in Chicago when it comes to particularly diversity and inclusivity. When you consider the backscape, we do have our own problems in the state with crime and with the way we treat people. But in the tech community that you sort of were one of the pillars to create, talk to me a little bit about what you've seen now, being able to kind of stand on top and look at it.
Well, there are unique challenges that exist in the tech community. If you think about the national scene first, you know, Silicon Valley, for example, I think 8% of founders of companies in Silicon Valley are women.
Yep.
So, you know, that's not a good number. And you know, and it's even a lower number when it comes to, you know, black and brown founders. And so, you know, a lot of work needed to be done and needs to be done. Here in Chicago, the good news is when we founded 1871, we really didn't know, you know, who was going to show up and want to be at 1871. But we were careful about who was getting let in, you know, yep. to make sure these were real companies, real founders. But when we were all done with that, and then we tried to survey the founders just because we didn't know everybody that was working at each company. Yep. Well, it turns out that 30% of the founders at 1871 were women. And a larger percentage, you know, black and brown founders were than Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So, you know, still not good enough.
No, we're not there, but it's.
But Chicago, and this is the thing I want to point out, Chicago is really better than most other communities. Maybe it's because we developed later.
Yeah.
But as many challenges, and I'm not suggesting we don't have challenges, but as many challenges as we have, I'm actually proud of that fact that we started out better than the national average and better than Silicon Valley. Now, we got a long way to go. And so that's why, you know, the Women Tech Founders Organization and so many other WISDOM at 1871 are so important. You know, the fact that the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is at 1871, I think, is a really big plus. And the fact that 1871 has a greater number of minority founders than the community as a whole is really great. And I'm proud that my firm, you know, I have a venture capital firm before I decided to run for governor, and that we were called out as the number one firm in the country for backing women founders.
Yep.
And that's, you know, look, again, there's much more work that needs to be done, but I like the fact that Chicago's been more inclusive, better at this than other places.
I'm going to use this as our kind of way to segue towards the greater cause right now, which is running for governor. And one of the main talking points you have is a plan for jobs in Illinois. And so I want to kind of use this conversation you just started and lead our way into that, because when I look at the ability for Chicago to stand out and recruit talent, obviously, as you know, and the reason you're running, there's a whole lot of effed up stuff going on in the state of Illinois, and it's detracting away from business. And you see signs everywhere, and it's probably fake news in a lot of cases, but you see signs of people leaving Chicago, leaving Illinois to work in Indiana or wherever it is. Chicago, for all those problems, still is one of the most unique business environments in the entire world. We have access to Fortune 500 and 1,000 companies at more of them than anyone else in the country. We have Northwestern University of Chicago is the ones I count, but there's a lot of other great universities in Chicagoland area. We have access to immigrants from all over the world who come to these universities. We have access to some of the best tech companies growing, the best multi-time founders, Lightbank and so on. We are in this place where, to your point you'd mentioned before about not sure if it was because we're late bloomers or why we have this inclusive environment. I think that Chicago, by its very nature of being that hub, the stop point between the coasts, we were built to be this inclusive, everybody's got to count because we got to count on everybody. And that sort of model is what I think has been neglected and ignored by the previous politicians that have run through here, is they've taken for granted that all these businesses are here and these universities are here. And it's like, well, look, we've got number one in this and two in this, but they don't tie them out. And so when I saw that you were running, I was super excited about it, because it was like a person who has been here from the inside, who knows very well what the positives are that we have, can finally go and represent the group of people who are making the most, in my personal opinion, the most positive impact on Chicago and, of course, Illinois. So I kind of want to soapbox for a second and then hand it off to you to sort of like what your plan is and talk more about how the jobs creation piece has been such a big, important part of your run.
Good. Well, I want to talk about my jobs plan, but I also want to say that the, you know, there's just statistics that came out, I think, yesterday about the state of Illinois that we're actually creating technology jobs at a rate of 50% faster than the rest of the country.
Yep.
And so at least in the tech community, we've got something going.
We like to make money in our tech community. Like,
and that's true, actually. It's funny you say that, because that's one of the unique aspects of the Illinois economy and technology jobs. And that is those companies are really have had to, because they've been a bit capital starved,
sure,
have had to get to profitability faster. So that, I think, is a really positive thing about something positive to look at about Illinois. And certainly the tech community is a leader. We got to create jobs in the state. I mean, you know, under the current governor, we haven't created any jobs. You know, he's proud of creating, I think, 10,000 jobs that he touted the other day. The truth is we've got to create hundreds of thousands of jobs. We need a governor who's actually going to work on that. And so I put out a plan that focuses on the big job creators. So let's start with small businesses and startup businesses, something I know a bit about, where 2/3 of all the jobs come from. And so that's an important thing. And nobody really stands on the side. And, you know, because you've been an entrepreneur, you know, nobody stands on the side of entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are out there doing it alone. You know, the city isn't there for them, the county, the state. You know, we need a state that's actually going to stand up and help people get businesses started, because it's good for the economy.
Sure.
And so we need to do that. So I put out a small business plan for creating capital, for mentorship, for technical assistance as people start businesses and need help. So that's one part of the plan. And technology will certainly be an important focus. Technology is really, you know, every business today.
Everybody's a tech company now.
Exactly. Yep. Every business. So there's that. You know, infrastructure, we've got to invest in. We've got crumbling, you know, roads and bridges and waterways all across Illinois, and we haven't invested for about 10 years. So we need federal help in that, and I think there is a move toward a federal infrastructure plan. We also need a capital bill.
I agree with you on that, and I think the other part that I think has been done poorly is the selling of Chicago. So we, like you talk about the entrepreneurs, and most of them go it alone, and most of them have to do this out of necessity, make money before they can raise money. We, because of that, not, you know, as you know, 8, 9 out of 10 startup companies fail. But what that ends with at the end of the day is 9+ new tech talent people that can be used to lure Amazon HQ2 here or whoever else. Facebook just opened up a new office. We now have a richer group of people who can become employees here in Chicago. And so what I think has been missed is this total ignorance, but like just ignoring that, even though maybe our startup, like I can't remember what commercial it was, and I don't even want to give them the airtime, but there was a commercial that kind of combated the, hey, we are 1871 helped get 3,000 jobs. And it was like, well, I have 10,000 jobs, I win. It was like, not really. I mean, we have 3,000 jobs plus all the people who have participated in this, you know, facility in tech who now are employable and attract large tech companies to Chicago. We've got to do a better job of selling what we have here, because no one is going to turn down coming to work in Chicago versus working in Indianapolis if you just straighten a few things out.
You talk to some of those big companies that moved their headquarters here or that built a facility here. Many of them will tell you that the fact that we have a burgeoning tech community really played importantly in their decision making, including, by the way, Amazon HQ2. Yeah. I guarantee that the fact that we are, you know, on a slope that is much steeper climb in, you know, in terms of our tech community, our ecosystem here, I guarantee that's a big talking point for them internally as they think about what cities they're contemplating moving to. So, you know, we've got to focus on that job creation. And by the way, all across the state of Illinois, there's an opportunity.
Sure.
Here. We, for example, I think one of the infrastructure projects that should invest in is high-speed broadband everywhere in the state.
That would be amazing.
If you leave the collar counties, leave Cook County, leave the collar counties, there are a lot of places that don't have high-speed internet.
Yeah, it's
and you know, you can start businesses if you have high-speed internet in a location. I mean, other companies will move there because the infrastructure is good for high-speed internet. You can start your own small business with high-speed internet. There's really, you know, a lot
to be said for it. It's a huge deal. And actually, I think, I'm sure you talked to him, Steve Easterbrook from McDonald's, CEO of McDonald's, was here at Momentum Awards, had a long conversation with him about why he came here to Chicago and moved back into the actual city. And all he talked about was tech talent, diversity. We have an innovation group. We've got all these things. You don't move a company like McDonald's. They can go anywhere. Why would they come here? They came here for a reason, and that's the whole thing. So, you know, perfect segue, I guess, in this also, as we talk about talent, is education. Another big button for you. So why don't you talk a little bit more about the what you have planned for early childhood education, because not only for the potential voters out there, but the listeners with Technori, we have always worked tirelessly to try to help CPS students get a shine on them for STEM work and for anything that we can work on with them. So like Chicago Tech Academy was a benefit of one of our recent events. Like, we want to help them out. How will you be able to help out some of these students, and how will you help us help some of those students?
Well, you're right that it starts at the very earliest stages, by the way, because brain development is really, most of it is happening before kids show up at kindergarten. Yep. So I'm going to invest in universal preschool and quality childcare because it's critical. But thinking about K-12 and just what you said, you know, we need to bring back vocational training in our high schools and include coding as part of that vocational training. It needs to be that the case that kids who are 16, 17, 18 years old can graduate and decide maybe they don't want to go to college, yep, but they can get a good job. But you've got to be prepared coming out of high school with a skill that's going to pay a decent wage. It can't be minimum wage, which, by the way, we need to raise. But as you graduate from high school, if you choose not to go to college, you should be able to get a decent job. And we need to provide that kind of skill training in high schools. Now, for the kids who will graduate and go to college, we need to make sure that you don't get strapped with debt for the rest of your life. So we need to make sure there's free college for the kids who can't afford it. We need to make sure that we're investing in our universities. Remember, these are the future of the state of Illinois. I mean, the kids who are graduating from high school, these kids, if they choose to go to college outside the state, which many of them are choosing to do because of Bruce Rauner, because his unwillingness to fund our schools, to fund the MAP grants, the Monetary Assistance Program grants, kids are just leaving. And you know what happens when many of those kids leave? They don't come back. Most of them don't come back. That's statistically true. They stay where they are. They get jobs where they are.
Sure. So their family,
friends
there are
getting jobs elsewhere. They follow their friends. So, you know, we need to keep them in the state of Illinois. By the way, we have some of the greatest universities in the world in Illinois. Our state universities are really good, but you got to keep investing in them. We're losing faculty because we're not keeping up with, you know, paying the bills. So these are important things for the future of the state of Illinois. And by the way, last thing, and you know this because this is true, I think everybody in the tech community understands this. We need lifelong learning because as technology enters every industry, your jobs are changing. You know, even people who started out with coding as their, you know, as their vocation, you know, you're needing to re-up your education all the time. And that's why community colleges can be very, very important.
So
we need to invest in them.
You actually touched on this several times. You mentioned the word vocational several times. I want to hit on that a little bit because I am a huge believer in what you're talking about with this. I'm a huge believer in using project-based learning for kids to get them involved in stuff early on, letting them see why they're learning something. I was a student who in my mind was lost as that. I ended up going to Northwestern, and if you asked any teacher I ever had, they'd be like, that is, you cheated somehow. Like, I don't know how you got in there, like literally, because I didn't know why I was learning this, and therefore I didn't care. And that's one part of the puzzle is changing the way that we teach birth through five, as you put it. The second part you mentioned that I think is incredibly important for people to understand, vocational. When you talk about lifelong learning, by its very nature, the way that our current education system is set up and the way that we push people towards, if you didn't go to this college, you didn't make it, that learning ends the minute you graduate university. I'm not going to go back and read British literature. Like, that's not going to happen again. It's over. Vocational is usually something that is a craft and or a craft that needs practice and honing. It's also generally a passion. And so the minute that we got away from finding out I like to work on woodworking, or I like to do coding, or electrician, or plumbing, or whatever, and we pushed people away from that and said, no, you have to go to college, or you're nobody. We lost them, and you lost lifetime learners. And what you have the opportunity to do as governor is change that. so that we can get some of these kids that we talk about as I'm forgetting the term, the technical term. We talk to Thrive Chicago all the time, trying to misrepresented kids that once they fall out of school and college, they basically cannot be recaptured. It's because they literally never found something that was interesting to them. And therefore, why would I go to college? I don't even know why I would go in the first place. So by creating these vocations again and making more of an influence and impact on that, we give students the ability to fall in love with something. And if you fall in love with something, as you know, in tech, you'll learn different coding languages that you would have never guessed you even could learn. So I love your direction on vocational stuff. I think it's incredibly important.
And we need to just recognize that, you know, the traditional vocations that the people, vocational training, technical high schools, you know, was learning to be an electrician, learning to be an auto mechanic, learning to be a carpenter. But today, and we still need those,
Sure.
By the way, we still need those.
Yeah.
I just came from the plumber's hall here in Chicago. They're hiring. They're bringing new people in.
I'm in a sling because I couldn't cover a gutter. So, yeah, those jobs are still needed. Trust me.
You know, and especially as we move toward, for example, 100% clean energy, which is where we need to go, you know, there's going to be, believe me, the electricians are all in favor.
Of course.
And so, you know, we need to help kids who are in high school who may not want to go to college to have the skills so they can go into an apprenticeship program right out of high school. I think it's tremendously exciting, the opportunity, but we got to all have the goal and focus to make sure that our kids are getting the kind of education that they deserve. And that means, you know, paying for the schools that we want.
Sure.
And that means, in my mind, having a progressive income tax in the state, because we got a flat regressive tax that, you know, that isn't fair. And I think we ought to have a tax that protects the middle class and people striving to get there, and asks those who are most able to pay to step up to the plate. And that way, I think we'll be able to get the schools that we really want.
And I also think, to your point on this, and we're going to move over to lastly, Illinois Cares, but the other part that matters here is you talk about businesses. Sprint has brought a lot of business to Chicago. They pay a lot of money to help the schools, the CPS schools, obviously they get an exchange, they get to have towers, but they support Chicago a lot. The more big businesses that we can attract through this, the more money they're going to pay for infrastructure. A company like Amazon wants you to have the best rail system, the best internet, the best everything. So if they're here, I know that they're going to take the best deal they can to get to the city to start with. But once they're here, they will help us invest in the infrastructure pieces. These school systems and vocational programs, if you don't think that, like, you know, I'm forgetting, for some reason, Cat or somebody, I'm forgetting who the name of the company is that's just out like Sycamore, Illinois. They will pay for vocational training if that means that they can hire more people that are fit for the job.
And this, I think, is the important thing that you're highlighting, and it's the important thing about the state of Illinois, and that is this, that the companies go and the jobs go where the talent is.
Of course.
And that's why investing in schools and education is so important. Where the talent lies, why do you think Amazon is looking at Chicago? It's because we're the biggest college town in America. Second biggest. We're the biggest in the Midwest, and we're the second biggest college town in America. And we have a ton of really well-trained, great management and other employees that are already here in Illinois that they can draw from. And
totally
that's good
agree.
For everybody. It's good for everybody. So but the talent, that's the thing we got to focus on. And we have in Illinois the most educated, dedicated workforce in the nation. We got to keep it that way and invest in it.
Totally agree. That leaves us with probably the most important part of this, which is healthcare. So I'm sorry I left you kind of short on this one, but healthcare is your not last, but the next big piece for you. Talk briefly about the healthcare plan and how you think this is going to change the way that things are done here.
Well, let's start with what's happening in Washington and in Springfield, which is, you know, we've got a president who wants to take health care away from a million people in Illinois. No. We only have, you know, a little less than 13 million people. So a million people would lose health care. And then we have a governor who's okay with that. And that's frightening. We need to protect ourselves from what Donald Trump is trying to do in Washington and make sure that we're building on our healthcare system that we have today so we cover more people, not fewer people. So I put forward a plan called Illinois Cares, which allows people in the middle class and those striving to get there to buy into the state's healthcare system at a much lower cost than a private health insurance plan. So you could save money, thousands of dollars a year, if you switch from a private insurance plan to this public plan, this public option. And people who don't get health care today because they're not covered by Medicaid would be able to buy into this system at a lower cost than they could afford in a private system. But understand this, even in the technology startup world, real challenges covering your employees with private health insurance, which we want everybody to do.
Sure.
You want to expand health care. This will allow small businesses to be able to afford to provide a health insurance plan. So I'm excited about Illinois Cares. It's a way for Illinois to be first in the nation, by the way, in a plan that allows people to buy into health insurance at a much lower cost and will expand health coverage. I happen to believe in universal health coverage. I believe that health care is a right, not a privilege. This is a way for us to start moving there.
I think if you want to be a strong nation that is here for the long haul, if you don't take that approach, I think you're making a massive mistake. You're literally betting against your people. That's how I feel about
it. And we should have a governor that wakes up every day trying to make people's lives better. I mean, this is hugely important. We got to recognize that the best natural resource of the state of Illinois are the people of Illinois.
So literally, as you stand here and talk about the things that matter most in the city, which I agree with all of them, by the way, is doubling down on tech, doubling down on education, and doubling down on giving benefits to those who deserve it, need it, and have earned it. And here we have a governor who's standing there going, don't care about teachers, don't care about giving money to support system for tech companies, and benefits, who needs that? That's literally what we're dealing with, which is why I had you come in to
share all this. We got to put people first in this state. We got to put working families first. You got to put Springfield back on the side of working families. That's my job.
Totally agree. Thank you so much for coming in. Like I said, the other part you mentioned, just to wrap this up on the healthcare front, that was to me hit me is we talk all the time about how we're turning into a freelance gig economy, whether we like it or not. There's going to be people's jobs are going to be two or three jobs instead of one, as that is the future. And everybody's saying this. This isn't just Democrats and liberals. This is everybody. And yet we don't have benefits in place for people when that happens.
Right.
Like quite possibly the most illogical thing of all time.
We need to start thinking 5, 10, 20 years in the future and plan for where we want to go in Illinois and stop staring into the abyss. We've got to get past the financial challenges of the state, but we got to also plan for creating jobs, expanding health care in the state, and giving every child a fair, good education, a quality education in the state.
You got my vote today, so that's it.
Thanks, Scott.
Please tell everyone else where they can go to vote, when they can vote, and all the information that you need for people to help support the campaign.
Well, thanks. First, I'd encourage everybody to go to our website, which is jbpritzker.com. You can volunteer there. You can send me a note there. And then I'd also remind everybody that the election is on March 20th. That's the Democratic primary, and I need everybody's support. And we've got lots of opportunities for people all over the state to get involved.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, or you can follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.